Welcome to Fatal 4-Way Radio, brought to you by Pro Wrestling Planet, and in part by World Generation Podcast Network, starring Rancho Punk Rocker Albert Inspected and Gay West. And now, your host, Internet Radio Zone, Minister of Sinister.
What's up? Welcome to the show. It's great of you to join us, Fatal 4-Way Radio, each and every Tuesday right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. And yes, good to be here. Thank you. Let's go to the panel right now. We've got Kev Ye West in the hizzle.
Good. Warning. Warning to the Kanye fans out there, Donda 2 is out. It's only available on the Stim player. Do not buy the Stim player. Do not buy Donda 2. It's whack. Kanye will tell you.
Ye West, of course.
Kanye?
Kanye's like the WWE.
He's like the WWE of rap music, dude. He's just like so big. He can do crazy stuff. For some reason, the ship doesn't sink. Puts out a bad product. Every once in a while, it puts out a good product.
I don't remember the year, bro, but it must have been between 2009 and 2011, somewhere around that area. And I was at the car wash in line about to go through the robo wash, you know, my lazy ass. And I like to go through all the different radio stations. I mean, I listen to all kinds of shit, like even old school country, new school country, rock, rap, you name it, man. I mean, old school disco, all kinds of. I'm eclectic that way, right, with my musical taste. But there was something playing on the radio that day, and I was like, what the fuck is this? It sounded like just a bunch of jumbled up like if I was to take, you know, well, a sequencer or my keyboard, and I got a couple of very nice keyboards. If I was to take one of those and just make some shit on it, right, and then do a couple of edits on top of that. And by the way, I don't know where Albert Inspected is. Have you heard from Albert?
No, I thought he might be waiting.
I've not heard. I was hoping he'd be here, but apparently, and we wish him the best wherever he's at, and we hope that he'll be here soon tonight. But yeah, and so, I mean, it sounded just, like you said, whack. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And, you know, it was a while back, but we already had the, you know, I had it on my Napster or whatever, where you could find out who the artist is by just pressing a button. So I did that. And, it was Kanye West. I wish I knew which song it was to this day, but I don't know which song it was. But it was on the radio, and it was fucking whack, bro.
Didn't like it for the longest time, man. I got into him ironically, and then I like really fell in love with the music. It's weird. I really do like following the guy, but it's fucking torture, just like being a wrestling fan for WWE. it's very similar.
I honestly, you know, you promote him a lot because, you know, you're a fan, and I think we have, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Albert Inspected.
Oh, right on time, as usual. Or not on time. Two minutes late, man.
But you're here, brother. You're here.
On time. What's going on, everybody? I'm happy to be here. Happy to be alive.
Thank you so much for joining us, Albert. And we're just sharing Kanye West stories. And, I tell you what, man. Sometimes I'm afraid to listen to something because I might like some of it or whatever and start following it, and then it's like, man, this isn't what I thought it would be. And then it would just be a complete waste of time. So I just stick to my own shit, but I digress. So, Albert, what's going on with you, man? You doing all right?
Oh, no, great, man. Great. Just getting off work, coming home, and you know, popping on the Fatal 4-Way radio. Getting
right on,
ready to have
right
a great
on.
Fucking Tuesday night.
Right
you
on,
know,
right
getting
on.
Ready to have some fun on Tuesday.
Yeah, and you know, nobody watched wrestling this week, I'm assuming. I know I didn't. Shame on me, but I did not have a chance. I mean, it's been balls to the wall busy with work and all, but we're going to try our best.
I watched Raw last night. I watched Raw.
Good.
I may not watch it, but I'm thinking about it and talking about it. I'm still thinking about it all the time.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. Most definitely. So, yeah, and ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you know, you can reach us at World Generation Podcast if you have any questions, comments, or concerns about the show. Maybe you want the watchdog back. I don't know. Write us and tell us about it. You know, maybe you want me off of the show. Write us and tell us about it, and maybe we'll respond accordingly or appropriately, however you deem, you know, whichever is best for you. We certainly don't want to offend anybody, but of course everybody can go, you know, fuck themselves, because that's how we roll here at Fatal 4-Way Radio. But yeah, man, we've got a hell of a show tonight that's completely unplanned, completely, you know, improv. I have nothing written down. I have nothing in mind. But I do have the normal segments that we do. And we're going to go ahead and start out with that. How about that? So we'll go with the birthdays, right? Let's do the birthdays first. And I've got it all on one page now. And we're going to move along this fast. We might even finish early tonight. Have some, maybe go out and have a beer. Not me. I got to get up my ass up early tomorrow. But, you know, maybe you guys can have a beer or two. I have no idea, but I digress. Let's move on to birthdays. Happy birthday to you. We don't really give a fuck. Happy birthday to you.
What?
Dr. Christian from Philadelphia. And let's see here. Oh, Tennille Dashwood, 1989, who, of course, was for her WWE. You guys remember her, who she is? You guys know who she is, right?
So, yeah, dude. I was, like, not to sound like a greaseball wrestling fan, but I was, like, Emma was the first diva I was in love with since, like, Stacey Keibler or Trish or somebody, like, since that era. Emma was the first one I was like, oh, my God. So,
she's
that. But also, her looks aside and everything, it was like, she's just a cool character. But then, so I had a crush on her, but she's also a badass wrestler. And then
I dug when she had the sunglasses and the gloves, man. That was my favorite Emma right there. She's doing great stuff down in Impact Wrestling right now. So hell yeah, happy birthday, man. She's fantastic.
Awesome. I'm glad she's on Impact. Maybe I'll tune in just for Emma, because I've always you know, had a little bit of a thing for Emma as well. But guys, I don't know if you're aware of this. She's also a great cook and has a little cooking, or she had one. I don't know how long it lasted. It might have been like, you know, one of our things that we start, hey, let's do this and let's do that, you know, and then it works out maybe for, you know, like a little bit, and then it doesn't, you know, because she had a deal, and you can look it up on YouTube where she was doing some cooking. And I'll tell you, man, that's the best thing I saw from her ever in all her career, professional career. And because YouTube is also a profession, as we all know, people get paid from that shit. But she had a recipe on there, guys, where she made like some fucking muffins out of ham and eggs, right? She took like a piece of thin ham and put it on in the muffin pan and shit with, like, you know, maybe a little bit of spray or whatever. And then she made some egg mixture, and she took some peppers and maybe some spinach and shit and some cheese and stuff. And she made like different ones, right? Because like the muffin pan held like maybe six of them or something like that. And so she made a couple of different varieties. And man, they look fucking badass, guys. She popped them hoes in the oven, and they came out. Man, they were like little egg cakes for breakfast. And I have always wanted to make them, and I never have. Man, I need to fucking make them just for Emma and be that guy.
Make them for her, bird.
I'll come back on Facebook and make a triumphant Facebook return. Emma, I made these just for you.
Hey. Make them every year for her on her birthday on March 1st. Just, there you go.
Man, have some Emma
cakes. Put a little... A little candle.
Take a breath there, Chuck. Take a fucking breath.
Yeah, I thought I sounded like a fucking creep on the internet for a second.
By the way, shout out and happy belated birthday to the fabulous Kitty Teixeira, who had her birthday last night. And, of course, we went out last night, and therefore I missed Raw. therefore, I missed Raw. But it was a great birthday for Kitty Teixeira, and we had a great time.
Off of that, with like birthdays tied to the show, today is actually Ricky's birthday today too. He's not with us, but today is.
I'll be damned. Well, shout out to Ricky. shout out to Ricky, who is not with us, but you know, we still have his theme though. We still have his theme. So shout out to Ricky. Happy birthday, Ricky. Happy birthday to the fabulous Kitty Teixeira yesterday. And happy birthday to Emma, to Neil Dashwood. And I'll make those Emma cakes next year. That's a solid, man. Somebody's going to have to remind me for that because, you know, I'll forget. But moving on, let's see. I've got another one or two, actually three or four. Kyle O'Reilly, 1987. Happy birthday to Kyle O'Reilly. Also, Big E Langston. Or Ettore, or Ettore, or however you say his name. He's got a cool name. But Ricky, Big E, 1986. He's a youngin'. He's a youngin'. And, of course, we have Ricky Shane Page, 1984. Davey Richards, 1983. Ultimo Guerrero. Now, I don't know who that guy is. Ultimo Guerrero. Is he anywhere right now? Does anybody know? If you know where Ultimo Guerrero is at, give us a call at 619-924-0815. We'd like to know. We'd like to find him. Yeah, we'd like to find him.
Yeah, and I would like to know where he is, too.
Yeah, I don't even know who he is, but I'd like to know where he is.
Ultimo Guerrero, he was huge in the WCW Cruiserweight scene.
Yeah, I thought I remembered the name.
On his Wikipedia, it says he's not tied to Corey Guerrero or any of his children.
Yeah.
Guerrero heard for Warrior, so it's like separate, all separate things. CMLL is who he wrestles for.
Wow.
It pretty much means Ultimate Warrior. It pretty much means Ultimate Warrior in Spanish.
Yes. Indeed it does.
Yeah.
Man, that was a great catch there, Alberto. That was a great catch. Let's see here. Booker T., who used to be Booker T. Washington when he first started, 1965. This is an older cat. He's older than I am even. So Booker T., 1965. Yeah, Booker T.'s birthday, baby.
You know I popped Booker T. Birthday,
yeah,
Booker
man.
T.
You got to say it to him five times, baby, if you're going to tell me you pop for him. Come on, give it to him.
55. How old is he? How old did you say Booker is?
He is. He was born in 65, so, you know, add that up.
Yeah, it's like 50. I don't know. I'm not going to, but,
50,
yeah. Booker T's
56 years old.
Yeah.
And if there's a correction, if anybody wants to correct us, they could also call us at 619-924-0815. All right, so moving on past the birthdays, happy birthday, everyone. Especially Emma, though. Man.
Our first is a pretty lit birthday.
Yeah? Let's see here. And, of course, next we move on to this day in wrestling history. Now, we're going to, you know, we got the retro thing going on, so we can always do that. But, yeah, retro. Kevin's giggle, Kevier's giggle, just it just it's epic.
I was jamming out. That shit rocks.
I got a new one.
Like,
I got a new one that I did recently. I'll share it. I got drunk off my ass Saturday night and came up with the, I think it was Saturday night, maybe Friday. I don't remember. And I mean, I was up all night. I was falling asleep at the very end, man. But I came out with something pretty whack. So
that's,
let's move
honestly,
on.
Had some Kanye and Weeknd vibes in it, dude. It was rocking.
Cool. Let's see here. So we have this day in wrestling history. Oh, yeah, that's what we got. Oh, by the way, today's a big day for wrestling in this day in history. Albert may remember this or may know this or like it. Sting defeated Lex Luger for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship in 1992, guys.
Yeah.
I don't think I was watching it at this time. I'm not sure, though. It was in the Mecca, Wisconsin. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. But, yeah, congratulations to Sting, who by that time, I think he was already at least a one-time champion. He had beat Ric Flair before that.
Yeah,
before his
I think
feud
so,
with
too.
Lex Luger.
And,
so this might have been his second championship.
At that time, this was Luger's send-off from the company, I think. So later, maybe like a few months later, he showed up on Vince McMahon's WBF, Lex Luger, and then later showed up on as Narcissus, Lex Luger.
Oh,
I think
yeah,
this is
yeah,
like immediately
yeah.
before that. That we're like, yeah. And I was thinking he might have dropped the title of this thing because he was on his way out of the company.
Ah, could be.
I have a question about Sting, like being champion back then, like because Ric Flair was like seemed like he'd been wrestling for longer and was more established than Sting, like Flair and Rhodes and stuff like this. So Sting was like a young guy whenever he was starting to become the world champion, and like was he like a superstar? Was Sting like fucking huge, like Arnold Schwarzenegger level?
Oh,
star
dude,
at the time?
He was fucking
oh,
huge,
fuck
bro.
Yeah, dude.
Everybody would fucking pop
like
massive
Stinger
for him.
Stinger thing was huge.
Dude, he was doing like celebrity shit. He was like the biggest star aside from Ric Flair that NWA WCW had. He was doing shit with like celebrities, dude. Like he was on like fucking Live with Regis and Kelly. He was doing shit with RoboCop when the RoboCop movie came out.
Yeah.
They were doing cross promotion with that shit.
Maybe that's
what else?
Like, I was drawing some shit. Like, I knew he was, like, tied to action movies somehow or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't watch WCW,
and,
so I didn't know the history of the guy. I know
the thing was...
You're
cutting out, Kevin, or am I cutting out?
Sorry. Kevin? I was just saying, I know the Sting more, but not the Stinger era. I didn't know. But, yeah, I guess he was, like, just as big as Hogan or somebody like that. He was, like, Flair and Hogan. He was that size.
He was on his way to that, and you know he would have been more Hogan level earlier had Flair not been the company, yes, but had Hogan not come in like 94, Sting would have been like fucking the guy, and he was the guy, but it was to me he's more like a as far as like mainstream wrestlers go, he's more of like a Bret Hart or like a Shawn Michaels or something, you know, he's not like a fucking, you know, Hogan or Flair type, but he's up there.
I mean, I have to agree with you on point on that, Albert.
Yeah, he's not like a Hollywood megastar, but he's big in the, he's like huge wrestling, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
funny thing about that era too, is that he did something with Sting, the musician too, from the Police. They had, like, an appearance at a concert or something like that, too, and Sting was there. And
nice.
It turns out that Sting, the bass player and the founder of the band The Police, never filed a trademark for the name Sting. So Sting, Steve Borden, the wrestler, actually filed a trademark for the name Sting. And Sting, the wrestler, is actually the rightful owner of the Sting moniker, and he allows Sting, the performer, the musician, to continue using that name for $1 a year. I think that's because he has to charge him something for it because it's like a legal technicality. So Sting, the musician, pays Sting, the wrestler, $1 a year to use the Sting name.
I never knew that. That's awesome.
That begs a question, yeah, man. I mean, does Sting, the, you know, pop star,
okay,
if he you know, lives beyond Sting the wrestler, if, you know, Sting the rock star goes to his funeral, or he gives him a slap on the face on the way out. I mean, that's a real big up thing to do. Let someone else use your moniker, your trademark and shit, your property.
Yeah.
And for him to let him do it, because you have to, I'm sure there has to be a cost, and that's why he lets him do it for $1 a year. So Sting, the pop star, better be at Sting the wrestler's funeral, damn it, or I'm coming after him.
Yeah, but and like, I'm sure they are. And they're still good friends. They're good friends. I don't know what it was, yeah, but it's similar to how Hulk Hogan has to pay royalties to Marvel Comics because of the name Hulk.
Oh, wow.
Right. Heard that.
And so how much does he have to pay them?
I think it's like a certain percentage of his merchandise sales and percentage of his matches he pays to Marvel Comics. Yeah,
wow, I
had
no idea, bro. I've learned so much tonight on Fatal 4-Way Radio. Only here on Fatal 4-Way Radio can you come to learn. I mean, where else are you going to learn some shit like this?
So,
this is great.
So check this out, right? Hulk Hogan licenses his name for Marvel Comics, right? So that's why, like, when you see, like, okay, this is weird, right? This is just my stupid little fucking brain working, right? But if you ever go to like Walmart and go look at the toys, it doesn't matter if it's WWE toys or WC or AEW toys or whatever. The little logo at the bottom of, like, underneath their name is different. Like, it says TM. So you'll say, like, Sting, TM, at the very bottom. Meanwhile, everybody else on WWE or AEW roster has, like, a little R, which is a registered trademark. It's fucking weird. But, yeah, you pay attention to shit like that. And so that's because he owns the name, and it's trademarked to Steve Borden. And on the back of the packaging, it'll probably say something like, Sting is a registered trademark of Steve Borden or something like that, too. Same thing with Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan has Hulk is a registered trademark to Marvel Comics as well, because Hulk Hogan has to pay Marvel Comics something. Now, the deal isn't that much, because it was in the 80s and they were, like, kind of floundering around. I mean, they were still making money off comics and a little bit of cartoons in there, but they weren't the worldwide Disney-owned juggernaut that they are now. So, I mean, I'm sure, like, they wouldn't have even fucking allowed it now, you know, having Hulk and Hulk. But at the same time, Marvel Comics has rights to use Hulk Hogan, the wrestler, in Marvel Comics. And they did this a couple of times. And you can look it up. You can Google this shit. He showed up in a Hulk comic. And Hulk, the Incredible Hulk, just, like, fucking buried the shit out of Hulk Hogan because they were so pissed off about the deal. I don't know. It's funny. Yeah, he beat his ass, like, in the fucking ring. And it was incredible.
Oh,
my God. Yeah. Man, that's some good shit, Albert. No, that's some great shit, man. I mean, really, just the things you learn on this show, I cannot express how. You know, you got to call in 619-924-0815, damn it, and get in on this, because this is some great madness. That's some great stuff. Anything else on Hulk Hogan and Sting and all that good stuff, Albert, that you want to wrap up with?
No, there's a lot more. I'm sure we have to move on.
Okay.
I'll be here all fucking night talking about legalities and names and all this bullshit. Like, just fucking go.
I'm going to hold you to that because I got nothing tonight, bro. I got nothing, bro. I'm going to hold you to that. So let's move along and see what we can come up with here. We had, today in history was Sting, what was that? Man, the baby threw me off. It was, Sting. So let's move on from that.
That's not Sting, that's a picture of Sting.
Sting defeated Lex Luger. You know, also on that card, though, and this one's good, too. Actually, there's some other good stuff on there. But Rick Rude defeated Ricky Steamboat to retain the United States Heavyweight Championship. Of course, this was the WCW one. It was really cool. And at that time, man, I was digging Rick Rude. I never was much of a fan of Ricky Steamboat because, you know, he was always a baby face. But I'm serious, man. I was a heel. Ever since I can remember, I've liked the bad guys. But Ricky Steamboat, though, I've grown to respect him, man. I've seen some great matches with that guy. But Rick Rude was just a total badass, man. And I used to gravitate towards that guy. Any thoughts on what did you think about Rick Rude, though, Albert?
Oh, I loved him, man. I thought it was a great fucking in-ring performer. I thought it was a great
enjoy Rick Rude WWE version more than WCW version, or did you like the WCW version more?
Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, to me, the WWF and the WCW version of Rick Rude are kind of the same. I mean, it just mainly depends on the time, right? Like, late 80s Rick Rude was late 80s, early 90s Rick Rude, you know?
Gotcha,
but,
yes.
You know the D-Generation X and NWO Rick Rude was a completely different Rick Rude as well, you know what I mean? So, but I dug his earlier stuff in WWF. He would come out with, like, the fucking opponents painted on his tights and shit, you know?
Yeah.
He came over to WCW.
That was very antagonizing. I used to love that shit.
Yeah.
Very antagonizing. Kevier, did you get to enjoy any of that Rick Rude stuff from back in the day? The hip shaking and all that stuff?
Yeah. I've gone back and watched it. Because me and Ricky used to get on these trains of, like, watching... we would watch a whole bunch of promos from one guy. And so I remember, like, Rick Rude is a guy we would go back to and watch all his promos. And he was just a shithead. And it was cool. He was really good at it. There's a lot of guys who you could tell are straight up copycatting that for the last, like, 30, 40 years or whatever. And so that being said, like, about this match, like, it was probably a really cool match. I was thinking, like, initially I was thinking that Ricky Steamboat should have won this matchup. But they're both, like, really, like, I think Albert said performers, like, they're high-level performers. They're not just, like, wrestlers. They're, like, actually pretty – they, like, both of these guys choreograph a lot of shit, and, like, they're putting on a show. So I bet the match was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll bet it was cool. Maybe I'll go look it up. That pay-per-view looks pretty good. Also on the card was Bobby Eaton, who, of course, he was with Arn Anderson, and Bobby Eaton defeated the Steiners. So that had to be, it was by DQ no less. Makes me wonder if the Steiners beat them up. I'm thinking the Steiners beat them up. This was probably a time when they were just like real rabid dogs, just rabid. Barry Windham and Dusty Rhodes defeated Stunning Steve Austin and Larry Zbysko. And man, I was a big time Zbysko fan because he was so freaking dirty, man. He, like, before all this Hogan madness and all that shit took over WWE, I used to watch matches from time to time from WWF. I keep saying WWE. They've just got me programmed like that, the sons of bitches. But yeah, Larry Zbysko was just a fucking real bad guy. Dirty and shit, man. I mean, he would go out there and fucking and just do some dastardly shit, man, and whatever it took to get a win. And a lot of people didn't like that. And it's interesting that he was teaming with Stunning Steve Austin. That's very interesting. And, of course, it was Barry Windham and Dustin Rhodes. So that's a cool combination there, too. Albert, do you remember Barry Windham and Dustin Rhodes during this time?
Yeah, I mean, okay, here's the thing. I would go back and watch. I was probably a little bit young to remember, but yeah, the natural Dustin Rhodes and Larry Zbysko was a big old fucking shithead. You know what I mean? But you see, the thing was, okay, I didn't understand. Yeah, he was a shithead. I had a fucking action figure from this time of Larry Zbysko.
Wow.
It was really odd. It was like, I had Larry Zbysko with, like, Power Rangers. It was, like, really fucking weird.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah. So,
and, of course, Sonny Steve Austin would go on to become fucking Stone Cold. Kevier, have you seen any Stunning Steve Austin videos or anything in your time from back when, he had the long hair? And then he started balding and shit, like, up on top. And I mean, it just made great sense for him to cut his fucking hair and move on from that shit.
Yeah,
in my opinion,
I'm a big fan of Austin and Dustin Rhodes. So I've like watched their early stuff. Probably not as much as I'd like. I bet a lot of it's like really badass. But anyways,
I would see that guy, bro, and I would be like, man, this guy's just a straight fucking Ric Flair ripoff. But then, you know, as I got to see him more and more, because I saw him in the local scene, like world-class championship wrestling or something like that, not live, but, you know, on the television. And so he would come out with the robe and all that stuff. And I was like, man, that's just a Ric Flair knockoff. But, you know, I mean, looking back on it, I mean, shit, it made sense. Rick, why wouldn't he want to be like Ric Flair or, you know, come off like that?
Both of these guys that I'm talking about are Texas boys. I'm pretty sure Barry Windham's a Texas boy. All these guys came up,
yes,
even though they were working for W at the time or whatever. I guarantee you all these dudes had worked each other before. They had worked this match in different capacities, and it was like a thing where they were like, y'all go out there and do your thing.
That makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all of these dudes are from Texas, and all these dudes work it. There's a certain style when it comes to like how Steve and Dustin used to wrestle and how the what's their name? I had it a second ago, now I'm forgetting, but all the brothers,
Devon Erics, right? Yeah.
Devon Erics. Like, it's like their style and like the Dallas style of like 80s wrestling, kind of how the, I don't know. It was like slower, just like big dude stuff. It's different than like,
I know exactly
you can see
what you mean, dude.
So the Texas wrestling is different and all these dudes are working that style. So it was probably cool.
I know exactly what you mean, dude. And you know what? Like, that's the style. We talked about this a long time ago, but that Texas style, I know what you mean. A lot of those, like, in the corner, slow moves, slap in the face, ha, 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 walk
and,
off.
And then
Texas
all of a sudden, a devastating clothesline.
Yeah, exactly. Pile drivers and shit. It's different from Southern wrestling, which is all very similar to Southern wrestling, but that's kind of what innovated or kind of created the current like WWE style. Because when Austin came over and Dustin came over and all those guys, they were still kind of working that style, but they like sped it up, you know, to like that fucking.
That makes perfect sense, man.
And so they had to fucking get a different, because it's heavy bumping. Right, so like that ring that they were using all the way up until like 97 was the old ring, that old 20-foot WWF ring that they had in the 80s that was like reinforced for like Andre the Giant, dude. So like that shit wouldn't fucking give. So a lot of the boys started complaining about it, and so they got an easier bump. That's why the sounds changed. That's why you watch like a WWF match in 97, early 97, and then watch another one like in late 97, early 98, the ring sounds completely different.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah, Albert's just making all kinds of sense tonight.
Yeah. The guys from Texas, even the Guerreros we were talking about earlier, like it's that whole style, like this area versus what other people were doing elsewhere, I think it is different. And I think when you go to like indie, when you go to little places, it's probably like this where you're from, Albert, like when you go to these little indie shows and these dudes have been trained by guys that were brought up in the fucking 80s era of wrestling, that's how they train new guys. And that's how a lot of like Texas indie promotions are pretty much trained, is like on that kind of style or whatever. It's like more the flip shit now. But that shit's like ingrained in you. From what I know about the places I've seen training and stuff, they teach you that fucking old school Texas shit kind of. So,
yeah.
Cool.
That Rudy Boy Gonzalez. Jimmy, Yellow Rosa type fucking,
that cowboy shit.
Yeah, the carny shit. The shit you see at the D County Coliseum on any given night.
You gotta love it, man. You gotta fucking love it. Back in 2005, at a SmackDown taping in Albany, New York, Orlando Jordan defeated John Cena to win the WWE United States Championship. Orlando Jordan. I mean, Where is he at right now? Like, some people just fucking fade off. You think he's selling insurance somewhere? Like, he would be making a good living if he was, because insurance salesmen make good fucking bank, I assure you. I mean, these, some of these fuckers are millionaires by the time they're 40 or 35, even 30 and shit. I'm seeing now. But so yeah, Orlando Jordan. What do you guys think he's doing now?
He says he lives in Australia now and currently like wrestles occasionally, but he hasn't wrestled since 2016.
Wow. Interesting.
No idea.
No, the guy was a crazy athlete, dude.
He was
like super. I remember that about him.
Very athletic.
He was like tall, ripped.
Nevertheless, he's got a win over John Cena, a title no less. So he's got that title, I'm sure, on display somewhere. They always have their little case of titles, you know. That's pretty cool. I wonder how many other titles he's got. That guy, I know he was on Impact Wrestling quite often as well. I think that was like right on the cusp of when I had stopped watching it or something like that. But I would see him from time to time because I still kept up with it here and there. Or just like certain wrestlers, you know, more than others. You know what I mean? Just like I do with WWE.
He came in during the Hogan era of Impact or TNA wrestling at the time.
Yes. It was during the Hogan era. And I was pretty much done with it after that. I mean, Aces and Eights, I got into it a little bit. I tried. Like, one of the funniest moments I ever saw was Aces and Eights when they had one of those guys. Oh, yeah. The one that's a producer now for WWE. He used to wear that mask. He was like a Mankind ripoff. I forgot his name, man.
Abyss.
Yes, Abyss. Thank you.
Abyss, yeah.
And they had him kidnapped, bro. And then they had him kidnapped, you know, for a few episodes or whatever. And then they took him some food, man. And he hadn't eaten and shit. They let him eat. And, man, he started eating, and he was eating like a fucking savage. It was so fucking great, crazy funny. I loved it. Mark, that's one of the funniest things I've ever seen to this day in wrestling. His acting was so fucking badass, bro. He should have won a goddamn award for that shit. It was epic. But I digress. Abyss makes you wonder. He's producing now is the last I heard for WWE. And I just not heard. Why should I? Why do I say that? The last I read. And it was actually quite recent. I think just within the maybe 2 or 3 months, so he's probably still with them.
I just got a crazy because he has been with WWE for a while, and it would be such a great matchup to have him and Alexa Bliss like matched up together, like where he's like containing like her demon or whatever, and he's got a demon too. Like if they brought in the fucking with Jonathan Parks Abyss demon again, like they don't have to make him wrestle, but like have it like just like elude, make him a creepy like Paul Bearer type character.
Man, that would be great. And you know he could play it. I know he could. I personally know he could. That guy's got to be epic to just hang around with. I mean, when he has, from what I saw on TNA, I mean, he was actually good, and he could move for his size too, man.
I think of all the guys that like have histories of like being bigger things outside of WWE and not like what could have been. It's like him and Christopher Daniels have like the most rumors surrounding them of like times that WWE approached them and tried to get them in and blah, blah, blah. Like those two guys have a lot of that. Like it makes sense that he works for them now. It sucks that he didn't work for them sooner, I guess, but maybe it's best. Like look at where they are now. Is it great? Like, is it good to work for, we'll get into that later. Is it good to work for WWE? More coming.
I mean, already. That could be a whole segment.
It really is.
Already.
Albert?
What?
Oh, I don't know. I thought you were trying to say something.
No. I was agreeing.
Okay. So let's see here. 2011, Curtis was declared as the winner of the fourth series of WWE NXT. This was back when the brand was still they had that talent show shit going on. And so, of course, he went on after that to become, Fandango. And man, I heard him do a Vince McMahon impersonation, and he fucking nailed it. He fucking nailed it, man. He was acting like Vince, you know, and he was saying how the story of how Vince approached him with the Fandango character, and he was just he nailed Vince to a T. I could literally, if I was not watching him, you would think it was Vince. At least I thought it was great, man. But I always thought that guy was a decent wrestler, man. It's too bad that, you know, he never really got to shine.
I mean, he did a little bit. You know, Breezango, yeah. You know, that was pretty much the end of it, man. I was like, but,
yeah. Oh, yeah. When he started doing that Breezango shit, I knew that that was the beginning of the end for Johnny Curtis.
They went on for a while, dude. They went on for a long time. I think it was like 2 years, maybe longer.
Man, that was a long tag team or whatever that they had. And they would do episodes, like, even just on the internet and shit. Like, they were all over the place with that. But unfortunately, it never took off. And it probably, I mean, it did because it was on TV. And then it was relegated to, like, Superstars and, you know, the internet and stuff like that. But, I mean, also, but WWE is at fault for that, too, though, for not pushing them. Because they could have probably pushed them harder or, you know, and turned, you know, they never really did anything like with titles or nothing like that. You know what I mean? So it's like WWE failed to push the trigger there. That could have been hot, just like they did with, you know, the now Matt Cardona, formerly known as, you know, Matt Ryder, also known as Matt Stryker. No, I'm kidding. Matt Ryder, Zack Stryker. No, but Matt Cardona. There you go. Matt Cardona, you know, I mean, like they had such a fucking hot potato with that guy, they just let it fucking drop. And, you know, nobody ran with that. They should have ran with it more, I thought. I thought it was an epic missed opportunity for WWE and for Zack Ryder.
Everybody, look at Zack Ryder. Look at the potential you have in one person. And one person on your roster. Let me go on just a quick rant here. But, yeah, you're totally fucking right. Look at Zack Ryder and what he's done fucking 15 years, 10 years later, 12 years later, whatever it is. Like, bullshit. The guy worked for you. Like, he was on your payroll, and you could have done this. You could have, like, fucking harbored this and, like, blah, blah, blah. And it's just crazy to me. It's crazy that in any aspect, any company would have an employee that they don't – and this is not a personal rant. I'm very happy in my current position, but I'm just saying, like, why fuck would you have somebody on your payroll that you're not using to their full potential or whatever? Like, and I get that they have so many different people, but yeah, like any of those people, anybody that's on the roster right now could be as big as Matt Cardona is right now, as big as Dean Ambrose, Moxley, any of these people, all of them have the same potential. And WWE doesn't let any of them fucking have an ounce of it, dude. So that's it.
That's a good rant. It was a good rant. Let's go to the phone lines here. I think we have, we may or may not. I don't know the number offhand, but I think it's Christian from Philly, ladies and gentlemen. Is that Christian from Philly? Is that you?
Does somebody say fucking history about WWE being shit?
Christian from Philly. What's going on, bud?
like a viper, I will make special occasional visits for the show. I told you this is one of the special occasions for tonight's show.
Cool. I like it. I'm digging it already. Welcome to the show, my friend. Welcome to the show. So, yeah, there you go. That's go ahead. What do you got?
So we were talking about Jimmy Curtis, right? Fandango,
Johnny,
right?
Yes, Jimmy Curtis. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, Fandango, you know, he was not really that special. I mean, the only thing, let's be honest, everybody, the only thing that got him over was his theme music. Okay? That was the only thing that was over about that guy. Let's be real.
Yeah.
And it gave him the mic. It's funny. He was really funny on the mic. He was funny when he was Johnny Curtis. He was really funny on the mic. But don't know. It was a different era, too. Like, they used to have goofier characters. They used to have, what the fuck was his Your Welcome Name guy? They were doing
Bo Dallas.
Yeah, Damian Sandow. So, anyway, so they had more guys like that. Now
Damian Sandow.
They're doing more, like, lowbrow humor like that, I noticed, with the shoosh thing, with the Alpha Academy, and, like, they're doing, like, these...
Yeah.
They're kind of relying back on that kind of stuff now, which
low
I'm kind of fine with. Anyway,
I guess I'm gonna say, and we'll go back to that. I think I complained about it last week, but we'll get to that later.
Lowbrow. So yeah. Do we have any more history for today? Are we still on the history?
This doesn't count, but we're almost there. You know. We're almost there. This did happen on this month, but it's like way later in the day, like in the 20s. But, you know, I think this counts as history.
In the 20s? Lay it on us.
This month coming up in the 26th, right, in March. I don't know if everybody remembered that date. But if you were an early 2000s mark, you would know that on March 26th, 2001, was the final episode of Monday Nitro. It also was the same day that they did the simulcast for Monday Night Raw. That's right. Soon is going to be the anniversary of the final episode of Monday Nitro. Yep. It's going to be the anniversary pretty soon, just coming later in this month.
Yeah.
Does anybody remember watching the final episode? Does anybody remember the matches? What's all your thoughts about the final episode? Were you guys even watching it at that point?
I watched the WWF
side. I
didn't watch the WCW side. I watched the WWF side.
Let's go to the phone lines. Oh, shit, man. Whoever fucking hung up. Damn it. I was going to ask them what they thought about the call back, caller. Yeah, I was going to ask them what they thought about, you know. I wasn't watching it at the time. I fucking hated Nitro by then.
I've watched it like three or four times by now, but like I've watched both of them and it's really cool to watch. I don't know. It's a fucking train wreck for sure. Like you can tell why WCW was in the position they were on that last episode. And then WWF, just the whole, like the twist, that's like a big moment. It say McMahon, Dad.
It sucks, too, because you know what's the irony in all this, right, everybody? Their final episode in the early 2000s, the final episode, was their only best episode on that fucking night, and that was their final episode. Isn't that fucking tragic? Isn't that ironic?
I remember because we used to watch WCW all the time, and then... it was like a huge shocker when you saw Vince McMahon come on the screen. It was like, what the fuck? Like, it was just about as big as when Hogan dropped the leg on Macho Man during the NWO invasion. But then, like, you see, like, the little WCW logo came out. I remember it like it was yesterday. And then I remember seeing the WCW logo come up. I'm always there. It was like, I forgot what ended right before that. It was like some TV show that they would play. Well, I think it was like Chips or something. I don't know. And then Vince McMahon fucking pops up on the screen and gives a whole speech and everybody's just like, what the fuck? It was insane. It would be like the equivalent of like McMahon showing up on AEW like right now, like doing the same thing. It was like, fuck.
What the fuck is this shit?
In the final episode, good luck trying to find star power because I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm going to be honest with you lads. There was only two stars on that final episode. Lex Luger was gone. Randy Savage was gone. Hulk Hogan was gone. Goldberg was gone. Bret Hart was gone. Scott Hall was gone. Kevin Nash was gone. So all those big names that you hear were gone, all right? They were gone. They were not in the final episode.
They got to walk away and just still get paid for their contracts, mind you. That's so fucking crazy about that.
Oh, yeah.
The only two major stars that were on the final episode was Sting and Ric Flair. That was the only two.
Wow. And of course, that's why, you know, I didn't watch it. I could not watch that shit at the time. It was just full shit.
I was still
garbage.
For the invasion angle, dude. I was 100% invested in the invasion angle because I was so WWF blindly. I don't know why. I just like I wanted to see us beat the shit out of them.
Yeah.
It was cool. The invasion angle was cool. It was like some Marvel crossover shit, like whenever the Avengers fight the X-Men or something.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. That's exactly what it was, but it wasn't.
Yeah, the execution wasn't what we wanted.
It could have worked. It could have worked if the people were taken seriously. I mean, it could have worked.
It could have worked, yeah. If all this, yeah. Never mind.
If they were taken.
It could have worked if they cranked everything up to 11, if they'd have just, like, gone overboard with everything. They keep WCW and WWF, and they make wrestling, like, bigger than it's ever been. They're just like, wrestling is fucking real now. Fuck all y'all. And they're just, like, stunning everybody. They're just getting stunners and cutters and fucking, what was that thing that he did? Jackknife powerbomb? Fuck that dude. Anyway, you know what I mean?
I know the one thing, right, that I've always heard about the invasion, right? They always blame the mid-carders that were involved in the invasion. No, I'm going to tell you right now, don't blame the fucking mid-carders, okay? That it's not their fucking fault, all right? The one thing that effectively killed this angle was the fact that the fucking McMahons were feuding against each other for the millionth time. Like we've seen the same storyline since 98, and it was going on for fucking 2001. That's what fucking killed the angle. The fact that they had Stephanie McMahon for some reason be the kayfabe owner of ECW fucking killed the fucking angle.
Mm-hmm.
It fucking killed it.
It is weird. It is super weird how they did. I remember all that shit. It was, like, real political. Like, she was teamed up with Paul Heyman and shit. It was weird.
No, I didn't watch it during that time. That's so interesting to me.
It was fucking crazy. It was a lot of shit going on, dude. And then, of course, you got, like, Stone Cold Steve Austin joining the Alliance for some reason. Like, a lot of this shit didn't make any sense.
You had The Rock and you had Booker T. You had The Rock and Booker T, like, in the same place at the same time. And I love both of these guys. They were probably my two favorite wrestlers at the time, and they just fucked them up. They, like, fucked it up. So that's the biggest regret for me.
They fucked it up because, for some reason, they booked a world title match for SummerSlam, a handicap match between Booker T and Shane versus The Rock. It didn't need to fucking happen like that. Again, the McMahons were fucking involved in this shit.
Yeah.
Them silly McMahons fucking shit up. And now there's talk that, well, you know what, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to go over some WWE news, because Shane McMahon is in the news again, and we'll get to that.
Yeah, that's why I came here for a special occasion episode, because I got news.
Some news from Christian from Philly. So we're going to be right back after these words, so don't go in. And also, if you want to call in, 619-924-0815. So, yeah, give us a call, Fatal 4-Way Radio. Be right back after these words. Dustin Rhodes, baby, so the American Dream. There's a lot of people that don't like me. There's a lot of people, Christian, and out there in Philadelphia don't like Dustin Rhodes very much.
They I said, do like you, Dustin.
They said his belly is too big, baby. Maybe his hand is too big. But Christian
no,
from Philly, I'm coming to Philadelphia, baby. Dustin Rhodes, I'm coming to Philadelphia.
Dustin Rhodes, only a Fatal 4-Way Radio.
From the Friendly Fire Cigar Studio in Houston, Texas, you're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more. Friendly Fire Cigars, come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, VAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4 HDTVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Ashford. Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there.
Welcome back, Fatal 4-Way Radio, 619-924-0815, if you want to get in on this. Guest Christian from Philly joining us tonight. And, of course,
yeah,
Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Inspected, and yay, West in the Hizzle, the unusual suspects, ladies and gentlemen. So, yeah. So, guys, Christian, you said you had some news for us? Did I hear
I have some news.
Some news.
My
name's
the Shaved Man News.
And now, Christian from Philly with the news.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Christian from Philly, brought to you in the Broken Glass Door, which is the Fatal 4-Way Studios, where I broke in. Thing, my special occasion surprise. I will not pay for the damages, by the way. I will not pay for them. Because I am in a hiatus vacation, so fuck you. I'm here to deliver my news. And first news, Shane McMahon says that Terry Bollea, a.k.a. the old man himself, Hulk Hogan, has one more left in the tank, you know? Since Shane McMahon was fired after his debacle for Royal Rumble, you know, putting himself over and not caring about the young talent in the company that his father built, which he's destroying right now, but I'll get to that. He says that Hulk Hogan should have one more match, and maybe it's against him. Yeah. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, God. Do you think they're thinking about that during the the fucking double night extravaganza? What the fuck are they calling this shit? The extravaganza? Stupendous, yes. Do you think it's going to be at the stupendous two-night extravaganza, whatever the hell?
No. I think it would be like next year. No, next year, because he got fired. But let me say this, people, all right? Fuck nostalgia, all right? I am tired of nostalgia acts. I am tired of watching old wrestlers come out of retirement to get an easy paycheck to bring one of the to make a mockery of the industry that we all grew up in, all right? I don't want to see this match. Minister of Sinister doesn't want to see this match. Albert Inspector doesn't want to see this match. Kevier West doesn't want to see this match. Nobody wants to see Hulk Hogan, who, by the way, recently divorced his wife, his second wife, and now is in a new relationship with a girlfriend. But that's besides the point. Nobody wants to see this old fat man who, by the way, has controversy behind him for his, you know, racial and sex tape scandal shit, which, you know, beyond that, against a billionaire's kid who gets blown up no less than 2 minutes, gets sweaty, out of breath, and does fake punches worse than in the company I've ever seen in my life. Nobody wants to see that, people. Stop it. We need to stop pandering to these nostalgia acts because these are ruining the business, okay? These matches are ruining the business. It's shit.
I just want to see Hogan take a trash can to the face.
What if they have to take him out in a wheelbarrow? Or would that be someone else? More like, I mean, shit, man. No, I don't want to see anything
enough. Let's be realistic here, and let's book Hulk Hogan in a death match against Buff Bagwell.
Oh yeah, I see.
Because I'll tell you one thing, people. I'm telling you right now, Shane ain't gonna do his high spots that he loves to do with Hulk Hogan. I'm telling you this right now. He ain't going to do the coast-to-coast with Hulk Hogan because Hulk Hogan's not going to fucking do it. He's going to no-sell it, okay?
Where the fuck are they going to do the match? I missed that part. Where are they going to do the match at?
They don't know yet. It's just a rumor right now. It's not confirmed. But that's in the work. It's in the talks. All right? No. Just no.
And last I heard, Hulk Hogan was – or Red Hulk Hogan was, like, really – fucked up and shit health wise.
Yeah, so
nobody
no,
wants to see that
right?
shit.
Nobody I don't
wants to
see
his broken down ass. His broken down ass out there fucking. He might as well be fucking panhandling.
Jesus Christ! Panhandling what?
I really don't want to see him. No, I don't want
to see for food.
Let's go to the phone lines. 352, oh, fuck, again, what the fuck? 352, if you're out there, give us a call, man. Shit. The last time, it was fucking, you know, I was searching around for, you know, news and shit. So he may have been on home for a while, and when I went to him, he hung up. But this time was different. Like, I fucking, you know... 357 or whatever it was, callback.
Yeah.
357. Area code 357, I think. Something like that. 367, maybe. 367, some shit. I don't remember. I said it, you know, a minute ago. But so, yeah, I don't want to see that shit. Kevier, do you have any interest in that? Or Albert? I mean, what do you guys think? I know I don't want to see that shit.
I don't think a lot of people are going to see it, but I want to see it. I really don't care either way. I think it'd be funny. I just kind of want to see it for the
nostalgia.
No, not even that. I just want to see if it's going to be funny, but you know, I want to see like Hulk Hogan, you know, get his ass kicked by Shane McMahon, you know, take it coast to coast.
I'd love it. I'd love to see that, but that would be it. Like, just show me the highlight.
The number is 338.
It would be the one match where Shane doesn't wrestle for WWE that he, like, jumps off of some crazy shit and, like, actually gets hurt. And his dad's like, I told you you should never jumped off that dumb shit. And he's like, damn it, fuck you. Fuck you, Dad. That's a shame.
Okay,
Anyways, No, this is cheesy. These guys are delusional. This is a stupid rumor, number one. And, like, I think it's fucking somebody making up some dumb shit. Terry was lying. Hulk Hogan's out there telling lies again. And then number two, like, no, they're delusional. Nobody wants to see this match.
No, crazy. Nobody.
I think it's just Shane kind of stirs this shit up. You know what I mean?
I'd watch Logan Paul versus Hulk Hogan in a heartbeat. But no.
Wait, who versus Hulk Hogan?
I was saying I'd watch Logan Paul versus Hulk Hogan.
Logan versus Hogan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go. Book it.
Anyway.
So, yeah, word going around has it that Shane McMahon is, might get booked somehow here soon. And that whole deal of him getting fired is just an angle, is what I read just a few days ago. So we'll see how that develops. I'm guessing Shane McMahon rears his ugly face in the fucking match, you know, just as usual. It's going to be a two-night stupendous, two-night extravaganza or whatever the fuck they're calling it. So I imagine that he'll work his way into that card.
That phone number wasn't 286, right? 386 or what?
No, it started with a 3. It might have been 386. It was a 3-something-6. Yeah, it was. It was a 3 or a 3 or a 3-6 something. It was some shit. I don't know. It started with a 3 for sure. But I mean,
okay.
it could be anybody.
Okay.
It could be your nemesis. It could be your nemesis, Christian. Christian Killjoy.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about something if we had just a quick second. This other.
Of course, man.
Do we have a second to? So have y'all heard about like this EC3 promotion and like what EC3 and Braun Strowman and these guys have been up to?
Braun Strowman is joining that now too.
Control your
narrative. Read that it was EC3 and
promotion now.
And somebody else.
Dude, I'm late.
So,
I'm late to this. And like today, I just like read something about it. And I was like went down the rabbit hole about this thing. I had no idea. And I watched probably the first 30 minutes of their last two events and looked at it. And it's really weird. Have y'all checked any of it out?
No, I haven't been wanting to, but it sounds strange.
Dude, it's really weird. It's like, I can't describe it. It's like EC3 is like mad. He's really mad. And then it's like artistically done that he's mad. But then now it has there's like this uproar going on right now about it where there's like these connotations that it has, like that it's backed by the alt-right and that these people that are like, and so he did an interview today. That's what I was reading today was he did an interview where he like said, no, we're not affiliated with the alt-right. But then he like made a joke that was like kind of an alt-right. He made like this little joke that was like a semi-Nazi joke, like in so many words. He like said that you get 88% off, and people were digging into that and saying that 88 is a Hell Hitler reference. And so there's this whole
story about some Nazi shit going on. They got Nazi references.
Yeah. Yeah, and then when you
you
watch
gotta
it,
be
dude,
kidding
like,
me.
If I haven't watched any of the product, when you watch it, it fucking gives you these Proud Boy vibes. Like it's very much like has alt right like connotations. He's like, don't listen to the mainstream media; they're brainwashing you, bro. Like I was like,
yeah.
So it's just I digress, but it's very much like that. Like so, it's just really weird. I didn't know if any of y'all had watched any of it yet.
No, I heard about this.
But him, Killer Cross, I think Moose wrestled in the first one.
What?
And I think it was Moose that wrestled in the first. They've had two shows so far, and they were like these documentary style, like kind of Lucha Underground. It's like watching Lucha Underground, but if Lucha Underground was made by a bunch of like hardcore death metal dudes. Or something like. They have these podcasts. They have all these things that's been going on for like 4 months. So I'm really late to the party. We haven't covered it on the show, but yeah, it's this whole weird promotion that's going on control your narrative, and they're going to have
a lot of shit. We got to look into that. Yeah, we got to look into that. Talk about that shit next week. We'll do a segment on it. And there was something else earlier that I mentioned we could do a whole segment on, but I forgot. I digress. that's pretty crazy.
If you just control your narrative on YouTube, you can check it out. I'm not promoting it because I don't know the connotations of the shit yet, but I'm saying, like, watch it, be aware. Maybe don't support it if it's a bad thing. You know, educate yourself and control your own narrative to not support some neo-Nazi shit, if that's the case. Not accusing anybody.
Well, you know, I couldn't tell
from watching it, just from reading the shit I read and then watching the show, I couldn't tell. I was like, no, this seems innocent. It's just like a darker version of wrestling. And, bro, he said in an interview that Shane stole his idea. He said that he pitched them this idea in WWE and that they fired him, and a week later Raw Underground debuted. And that they took his idea. I guess they found my gimmick in the trash. And because he told him about it, he said he had a meeting with Vince where he like told him this whole gimmick. Who are we supposed to believe? Are we supposed to believe Ethan Carter? Maybe. Yeah. I mean, the guy, why not? I don't know. But is he a Nazi? I don't know.
I got to watch this now to see what all this fucking Nazi shit you're referring to is.
Yeah,
I mean, because, you know, the last time I watched the fucking news, they only tell you, like, what they want you to hear. There's so much more fucking news out there that you know, the news does not present to us.
You got this radio show, Fatal 4 Radio, that tells you everything you need to know about the world. Right now, Russia is invading Ukraine, everybody.
Yeah.
No, I'll tell you what, man. There's a lot of guerrilla warfare going on right now in the Ukraine. Those guys aren't giving up just like that. They're out there fighting in the fucking streets and shit, but they're fighting for their fucking freedom. You know, that's what they're doing. Crazy. They got it rough right now. Those poor bastards. They got it fucking rough. Shout out if you're listening to us in the Ukraine, by the way. But I digress.
Yeah, shout out.
Scott Hall was recently hospitalized. That was in the news just today. He had a broken hip, y'all. 63.
Yeah, he fell.
And he's got a broken hip. It's a good thing he's only 63. However, he is a rough 63, though. I mean, he's been through a lot. Yeah.
Scott Hall. Well, that's what alcohol. That's what alcohol will do with you. To you, you know, it makes your body weak when you grow old. So.
And of course, the beatings he's also taken. You know, I mean, that's rough on your on your back and on your bones and all that shit, man. Like, I mean, even though, you know, it's predetermined and all that shit, you know, whatever you want to call it, but it's not, certainly not fake. I mean, they go out there and they bump fucking hard. I mean, I'm sure you guys would agree with me. Y'all have seen it live. I mean, I've seen it live close up and all that shit. I mean, them motherfuckers bump hard. And they throw each other hard and shit. And nowadays, it's even rougher because now it's even more fucking flagrant. They'll throw the motherfuckers over the top rope and shit, and they just fucking land. And at the end of the day or at the beginning of the night or whatever the fuck you want to say, they still just fucking land. I don't give a shit how good built you are and shit. Still, you're taking that jolt to your body. And, eventually, you know, you end up at 63, you know, a little bit like Scott Hall. And then, of course, the drugs and alcohol, you know, they don't help. But, you know, some of us can't help ourselves. But, you know, I'm not speaking for anybody.
We'll help a little bit.
But apparently he fell and broke his hip, and so he's in the hospital. So we wish him the best from Fatal 4 Radio. Shout out to Scott Hall.
Yeah.
He was scheduled to be in Dallas next month. Yeah, he was scheduled to be in Dallas next month, but I mean, I'm pretty sure that's fucking, you know, gone by the wayside.
That will teach Hulk Hogan not to get in the fucking ring, right? Know your limitations. Sit down.
You know, that's a good, you know, that's good advice there, Watchdog. That is great advice, actually.
Hulk Hogan has no limitations.
That's right. Hulk Hogan Hogan has no limitations, brother. Tell him about it.
Hulk Hogan's like 71, dude.
Man. I would have to advise him, as his minister, I would have to advise him not to do this. Please, Hogan.
Yeah.
If you're hearing, please. Don't put us through this. We've been through so much with you already. We've been through enough. please, Hogan, do not put us through this. So apparently, before we move on, though, Jeff Jarrett was the one who, was the one that is praying for him as well. He's sending prayers to Scott Hall. He just got off the phone, so I guess it was discovered through Jeff Jarrett, maybe on Twitter or some shit. I don't know, but that's what we have there. So Scott Hall was scheduled to be in Dallas next month for WrestleMania 38 weekend. You think? No. Oh yeah, at the induction of fucking for sure. I would imagine. I would imagine so.
I don't know
that we'll keep you posted on this next week or not, because we're gonna have better things to talk about. But that's next week, and you'll have to tune in then yourselves to check it out to see if we're gonna fucking hold up to that. You can hold me up to it too. You can hold me fucking up to it, but you gotta call me at 619-924-0815. So give us a call, Fatal 4-Way Radio. Right on. In other news,
right.
Yes. What else you got for us, Swami?
This deals with a certain WrestleMania match, the main event of night two of WrestleMania, which, probably all of you have heard by now, that it's supposed to be title versus title between Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, a unification match. Well,
man, I've been saying that on Fatal 4-Way Radio for at least a month now, maybe 6 weeks.
I'm here to burst your fucking bubbles, everybody. I'm sorry to burst your fucking bubble. But WWE, in their all wisdom, they're still going to have two champions on in each brand. So that means this isn't really a unification match. It's in name, but it's not really. So what's going to happen is that one of them is going to have two titles, but chances are two things could happen. One of them vacates the title and it becomes vacant, or they just create a new belt and we'll still get two champions. So this is all for nothing. The hyping this as the biggest match in WrestleMania history, and it's all or nothing, because it's not going to end the brand split. It's not going to end the brand split.
That's just like your opinion, man. Like, you don't think that they can separate the belts and like make or not separate them, but unify the belts? You don't think that that's a chance that Brock just like, I ate all the belts, and he's like, I want the Universal title and I want the United States title too, Damian Priest, fuck you, and you like start eating all the belts?
No.
That'd be cool.
Nope, because there's
nothing to have to band together. It's like Thanos. It's like Brock starts killing all the, and like the last one is the 24/7 title, and Dana Brooke has it, and it's like the last gem that they need.
Woo-hoo!
And then like, and then Reggie sacrifices himself for Dana Brooke.
Yes.
And Brock Lesnar, but yeah,
and chivalry lives on. Chivalry shall live on.
They all have to band together. Yeah.
Well,
all of these get out and like the hang page like gives them the clothesline. I don't know.
Unfortunately, they're still going to have two world champions on each brand. So this is all for nothing.
It's all for nothing, he says. Cain Velasquez. There's a report out there that suggests that he was involved in a shooting.
Yeah.
So apparently the motive was And now this is just, you know, I don't know for a fact, but this is what we're reading, that there's some, you know, molestation going on. Is it his daughter? Gosh.
I want to point out something here, too. This is what's crazy. You can look up, you can Google Cain Velasquez, and the stuff about the shooting will pop up. And there's all these articles from, like, CBS, NBC, stuff like this. There's all these Washington Post. And they all say, like, just that he was involved in a shooting and that he's in holding, blah, blah, blah. And they don't really give you any details about it. Now, there's a fucking link. If you type in into Google Cain Velasquez motive, sorry for the background. If you type in Cain Velasquez motive, there's a fucking link from WrestlingInc.com, a dirt sheet. There's no other fucking website I can see right here. It's a fucking dirt sheet that says that he shot the guy because the guy, like, his son, he was trying to get the son of this guy, like, had molested or touched or abused or slapped or something one of his kids. It doesn't say. They said abused. And so one of his kids is daycare. And so he shot the dad of that guy is what they're saying is who the victim is. This is from a It's from a dirt sheet. This is fucking sad.
I wrote a few articles for that dirt sheet. I wrote a few articles for that dirt sheet back in the 2000s.
Nobody else that gives any kind of motive shit like that. And that makes me think that this is just like some made up shit for some reason.
But it's not. It's all over the news.
Not that the event was made up, but that the motive is made up. Like, I don't know why Wrestling Inc. has this information and fucking CBS or NBC isn't reporting on it.
I mean, it's kind of weird, right? Like, isn't he like a former UFC fighter or something? Why would he go for a gun? Wouldn't he just punch the fucking guy to shit? Like, wouldn't he beat the fucking shit out of him?
They're saying they have the scoop on a wrestling dirt sheet website. The fucking Washington Post, Fox News, all these motherfuckers are not giving the same information out. The same quote pops up, too. And maybe there's a reason behind it in media or something, but it says the shooting, the reasons are still under investigation. And maybe those major news sites are reporting it that way because innocent until proven guilty or whatever. But why the fuck is the dirt sheet saying, oh, this is what happened?
You want to know why? Because he was involved in fucking WWE. That's why. That's why you're seeing in Wrestling Inc. because he was involved with a wrestling company.
I get that. But man, why do they have that scoop and nobody else is putting that scoop up? Where did it come from?
I would say, I don't know. I've never seen this writer. I'm looking at the article right now, so I'm not familiar with this writer. I'm not familiar with any of his works or how long he's been with Wrestling Inc. But I know it's not a writer that I see often on Wrestling Inc. I know who Mark Middleton is, and I know who Nick Hosman is, and those are the two main ones that I know. I don't know of the other ones. Oh, and of course Raj Geary, the owner. But I don't know who this one is, and I don't see. And I look at Wrestling Inc. as one of the dirt sheets I follow, as well as WrestleView. But they changed the whole the interface or whatever the hell you want to call it of the WrestleView, and it's just hard to follow now. But this Wrestling Inc. is pretty all simple laid out and shit. And I don't comment. I just read the articles and shit. But they're usually right.
They're usually
but like I said, I'm not familiar. I'm not familiar with this writer though, Eric Mutter.
Overall point though about why does it seem weird to you guys that the wrestling website is the only website that's giving this piece of news, and none of the other websites are reporting the same piece of news? That's really
weird.
I think
you know, this is my opinion. I think your friend, one of them is friends with some, you know, the police or something, that they gave them information. I don't know. Like, it must be a personal friend.
Yeah. It could all just be a completely made-up story, too.
It's also an anime junkie.
I think that the news article is bullshit, dog. I think that the Wrestling Inc. article is bullshit, and I'm just conspiracy theorizing. We don't have to hang on it too long. But when I was reading it earlier, wow. I was like, this is really fucking weird that it's not popping up anywhere else. Because even if these guys broke the story, fucking Fox or CBS or ABC or whoever would be fucking tailgating it or whatever, like, you know, whatever the expression is, they'd be fucking doing it.
TMZ would have been, TMZ would have gone on it, you know?
Yeah, there would be more shit about it.
Oh,
it really
so it's not on
Here
TMZ. Yeah, you know, if it's not on TMZ, it's not real.
Yeah, TMZ.
It's been 10 hours. I fucking read the article for the first time, so I'm like, what the fuck?
It's
Let me
suspicious.
Open up TMZ, see what the fuck they got.
It's just weird. We don't know what happened. It sounds like the dude chased two guys down and shot one of them, which is fucking crazy in itself. That's pretty crazy. Like something led to that. The guy's not a WWE superstar. If we're on a wrestling podcast, like, fuck this dude. He's not one of ours. Why are you out here killing people, dude? Why are you out here shooting some dude? Is it your kid? Go hit him. That's what y'all said. Gotta shoot somebody.
Well, he has a court date for tomorrow at noon, according to TMZ. So we'll see what the deuce. We'll know more then.
Well, he's not the only one, you know, in authoritarian troubles. Because guess what? Another thing, Tammy Stitch gets arrested again. You know.
I read the headline, but I did not get the deets. Drop the details on us, please.
I don't know. It's the usual shit. Something about her car or some shit. Who cares, dude? Like, why is she still in society, dude? She's a menace to society, dude. if it's not terroristic threats to people or destructing the restraining orders or having weapons, like, oh my god, bro, like. What the hell happened to Sonny Cinch, man? Like, what went
dude.
Fucking wrong?
She's such a nightmare. It's really crazy. She is Bad News Bears. She is the chick that I would tell my homeboys, like, I've probably talked Ricky out of talking to, like, Tammy Cinch type chicks before. Everybody, no, I'm just like, no. Like, I'm that chick that's with you. I'm the opposite wingman where I'm like, no, that bitch is bad news, dude. Do not go that way.
Yeah.
That's a good friend. I mean, sometimes you just get that vibe, you know. Get that vibe.
This is crazy. Tammy has actually killed people or led to people's deaths. I wouldn't say she killed people, but she's like played a major part in people's like destruction.
She's gonna kill somebody one of these days for real. I'm not joking.
I think
she's totally guilty for Chris Candido's downfall, dude. Like, it's totally, totally guilty for that. And maybe him, too.
Wow.
Like, it's a situation all the way around, but no, like, it's kind of unforgivable, the Chris Candido thing, and just the way she was then. But if they were just, like, two innocent people in a relationship that were in a fucking toxic relationship, but that's, like, one of the craziest scandals in their relationship.
What exactly happened in a nutshell? I know that they were together. I know that they
had stuff going
with Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, she fucked a lot of dudes behind his back, and the guy got super depressed, and he was really a part of it, I guess, where he just like let it happen and fucking just continued to like work his ass off, and I don't know, and he was depressed, and I guess he like eventually committed suicide, right? I think he committed to battery OD.
That's got to be rough, man.
She broke up with him. It was like shortly after that the guy died.
She had too many chances to get help. It's too late for her. I'm sorry. She's a lost cause. I'm sorry.
Randy Orton was injured. Is that correct?
Is it official?
That sucks.
Unfortunate, yeah. During a spot last night on Raw, Montez Ford did his usual frog splash, but he went hard on him pretty bad. He landed on his shoulder, and as you know, Randy Orton has a bad history with his shoulder injury, So, what happened was Montez lands on his shoulder.
Well documented.
Yeah, well documented. Randy, rolls over to the corner, right? The whole spot was that Randy was supposed to put his foot on the ropes to break it, but he couldn't reach it because he was in so much fucking pain. So the other guy, Dawkins, had to push his foot out of the way. And the match just ended. Fontez was asking the ref what the fuck happened, and cameras would not show Randy's face. Randy was just on the fucking floor in fucking pain. I'm going to tell you something now. Randy Orton, if Randy's injured, if he's badly hurt, don't expect him to be in the Triple Threat Tag Team title match next week on Raw, all right?
Right. Here's how fun, I saw the whole thing. It was super awkward. Montez landed on really fucking hard from the frog splash. And the Street Profits won. They were surprised that they won. Didn't even start celebrating. They were just oh shit. They were they were actually it was very obvious that they were talking to Randy Orton. It was really, and the referee. They were just having a conversation on Monday Night Raw. The camera's just there. Their music's playing, but they're Randy Orton's on the ground, Riddle's on the floor. Street Profits are in the ring talking with Randy and the referee. They're just obviously having a conversation there. It's really awkward.
really sorry, Randy. Sorry I hurt you, dude. I'm really sorry.
Yeah, it was they weren't even trying to hide it. They were just there.
Well, all I can tell you is one thing. Goodbye, Montez Ford, his push. Goodbye to his push. He's going to be...
Remember whenever
he's going to be 10... He's going to be Ken Kennedy.
Man, that's rough for Montez Ford. It's probably going to be the end for him. Oh, my God.
I was going to say, this is how fucked up WWE is, because if you go on their YouTube channel, it's top 10 moments from Raw. And this was number 7 or 6 or something. And it's literally shows the frog splash. And then, y'all described, it shows all Randy's pain, and, it just shows the ref, checking him and being and he's I'm not okay. And they're it's all in there in that little fucking 5-second clip that they show from Raw on their top 10 count. They put it right there in their top 10 count. Here's when Randy got his shoulder broken.
Yeah,
I got to go watch that. I got to watch that shit. Not to be ugly, but, I guess, I don't know. Who the fuck knows, but. Christian, we got anything else?
I like to do the report for the WWE so I could do my new segment, so I continue the new segment.
You want to continue the news segment with WWE? So let's
the WWE report. I want to do the WWE report real quick so I could.
If you didn't catch the beginning of the episode, we all said that we obviously didn't watch this past week of wrestling, so so we're all guilty.
Well, don't worry, I will enlighten you, okay, real quick.
Yeah, okay, real quick, and I don't think I want to even do predictions for that. Are they having a show live Saturday night? Is that what the deal is?
No, they're not. No, that's just a live event. That doesn't count.
Okay, so it's not what do they call it now? A PLV, or what the fuck do they call it now?
PLE.
PLE. Yeah.
Premium Live Event. PLE. Oh.
I'm not saying
no,
that. Don't call it that.
No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do the WWE report. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do the WWE report real quick so I could do the new segment that you weren't here, Minister, that I did with the other two.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Swami Christian from Philly with this week's WWE report. Swami?
All right. So in order, I'm just
going to... Hold on, Swami. We got a caller. 979. Mm-hmm. You're on the air, Fatal 4 Radio. Welcome. Oh, man, they fucking hung up. Get the fuck out of here.
I think they're trolls.
I hope that's not the system fucking us over the way they do.
No, I'm starting to think these are fucking trolls.
Yeah, well, they can troll on. I mean, you know, I'll be here. But go ahead, continue, my brother.
All right, so I'm going to make this real quick. I'm going to go in order. There's only two things I want to talk about SmackDown. One is the confirmation that, unfortunately, we're going to get Johnny Knoxville versus Sami Zayn at WrestleMania for the IC title. Like,
oh, yeah.
What the fuck, dude? Like, seriously?
Are there any special skits or anything, or is that coming? That's going to be – it's probably impending, I would imagine.
It is. It's the match. It's going to be him and Sammy at WrestleMania. But we'll get to WrestleMania in a few minutes because I'd like to say something about that after this quick report. Wait.
You guys think that people are going to be praising – let's just call it now. You guys think they're going to be praising Johnny Knoxville the way they were Bad Bunny last year? Do you think it'll be much of the same? Do you think that he'll, you know, live up to it the way Bad Bunny was able to? Palling around with Undertaker and shit now.
Dude,
he recently was at a concert, one of Bad Bunny's concerts in Dallas, Undertaker. Rode out on his fucking bike as fucking, you know, the American Badass.
Dude, Johnny Knoxville didn't do anything on the Royal Rumble. He couldn't barely move. He couldn't even take punches right.
Yeah, I remember that. So right away, he's no Bad Bunny. Oh my gosh. I can't believe I'm saying that. He's no Bad Bunny.
He's fucking old.
He's weak. All right, so move along then.
All right, then we had the contract signing for the quote-unquote unification. Brock says he's just going to beat Roman, yada, yada, yada. Roman says he owns everything. And then, you know, the usual shit. Brock just beats up the fucking security guards. That was SmackDown. Boring. Next, for Raw, last night we just had, you know, the Raw Tag Champions lose against Seth and Kevin Owens because they're in the triple threat. You know, Kevin Owens, again, makes fun of Texas, so they're the United States Championship match happened. Boring fuckface Damian Priest loses the title to Finn Balor, who we haven't seen since he's been stuck in Ireland.
I made it for that match. I made it in time for that match. I was so glad to see that. I mean, I don't know how glad I'm going to be. You know, they might even turn Finn Balor into a transition champion. Somebody else takes the fucking title from him next week, the way they've been treating this poor bastard lately. But, you know, that's still up in the air. But I was just so glad that it's off of Damian fucking Priest. See, that guy is fucking horrible, man.
They just released
so much fucking good talent, and they got this fuckface as their fucking champion? I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, so he turns heel because he made a promo saying that you got fucking cheers, Finn. I never got that when I had the title reign. Well, first of all, it's because you're fucking boring, okay? Your promos are shit, your wrestling is shit, and you're fucking boring. Even if you turn heel, you're still fucking boring. You're still boring somehow, even when you turned heel. So moving on. And by the way, go ahead.
I want to say something controversial here and say that this was like the first time in a long time that I was like, it was even anything different for the guys. So maybe that's why it stuck out where I was like, okay, cool. I was like, cool. It was the first time Damian Priest looked kind of cool for a second. I was like, I was actually cool with it because I like Finn. And I like the whole thing of Finn taking it from him, but then he like beat the shit out of Finn again after it, and then I don't know.
That
like
definitely
Damian Priest
made up for a lot.
He looked good in it. I'm just saying, but I'm not really watching the product right now. I haven't watched Damian Priest in 3 weeks.
Yeah. It's tough to watch, man. I nitpick what I watch, you know. And the whole fucking Raw, I might watch 2-3 segments top. The rest of it is just like on in the background.
At least they're dropping the whole Damian Priest fucking snaps in the middle of his match thing, which is complete shit. You know what I mean?
Oh no, he,
I'm glad
oh, no, he'll still have that gimmick. Oh no, he'll still have that gimmick. He'll still snap.
Oh, man, I hope not. That's the worst.
No, he'll still snap. So immediately he gets outclassed.
I hate them.
He gets outclassed when he turns heel because immediately another superstar turns heel and he does fucking way better than Damian Priest, boring fuckface. And that is Edge. That's right. Edge's WrestleMania opponent is AJ Styles, which, you know, great. That's going to be the only great match in that.
Yeah, I was glad I made it home for that.
Yeah.
That was good
Edge.
Edge snapped.
He turned heel. He concertoed AJ Styles not once but twice. And he already outclassed and overshadowed Damian's heel turn. So, yeah, it's already ruined. So that's it for Raw. But
yeah.
Here's the thing, right? Here's another reason why I made my special occasion, right? Let's talk about WrestleMania this year. Fellas, real quick, before I do my new segment. Fellas, this has got to be the worst fucking WrestleMania of all time. All right? Last year's didn't look this fucking bad, all right? Last year's was lazy, but this year's is a fucking abomination, okay? I am not exaggerating. I am not mincing my words, all right? This year's a fucking joke. How the fuck can you book a show that has Logan Paul in it, Stone Cold Steve Austin, who's fucking old, Vince McMahon having a WrestleMania match, and fucking Johnny Knoxville?
So you think it's going to be Vince McMahon against Shane or what?
No, it's Vince McMahon versus Pat motherfucking McAfee.
Oh, God. Oh, hell. Wow.
What is this WrestleMania? What is this mania?
Well, they better bring back some jugs with Stephanie. If they're going to have the McMahons out there, they better do it right.
Yeah.
Have her out there with the low cut and shit, showing some jugs.
And this is what Cody wants to return to. Then he's a fucking idiot. I'm sorry. Cody, you're a fucking idiot.
What if Triple H... Okay, hear me out. Hear me out real quick. What if Triple H doesn't have a match? You know, Triple H can't wrestle anymore, but he always has, like, a really sick WrestleMania entrance. So, like, they have this WrestleMania entrance where Triple H, the game, comes out, and there's this throne in the middle of the ring, and he's, like, he walks out, and he spits the water, and he sits on the throne and everything, and then Cody's music hits. Woo! You're only smoking mirrors. And then Cody comes all the way to the ring and he just bows before the king and like kisses the throne or some shit like that. And then the fucking boom lights go on. Fucking like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with Triple Albert H on this one.
Sledgehammer on him like a
Stop
King
it.
Arthur, like puts the sledgehammer on him like some King Arthur shit and knights him with the sledgehammer.
I'm sorry.
And then Cody has.
No, man, I'd rather see it like this. You got the fucking music comes out from the game and shit, and he comes out and does that, and or maybe not even that. Then the lights come on and shit, and instead of him, it's fucking Stephanie, and she's wearing a badass fucking dominatrix outfit, dominatrix outfit, and she's got a fucking, next thing you know, she's got a fucking a chain, and on the end of that chain is Triple H. With a fucking collar on his neck and shit. He fucking pulls her out there on a chariot and shit. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking.
This is the worst WrestleMania. I'm sorry. This is the worst fucking WrestleMania.
Christian's like, oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, I got to agree. It's like Kevin
said. I'm wondering
for the
Cody
he's not
then.
Following the product.
Cody.
Are you going to tune in just for Cody?
Where does Cody come into the equation, Christian? Where do you see Cody Rhodes fitting into the current WWE?
Well,
do you think they will
I hope,
that Mania?
I hope he's not involved in the Vince McMahon match, because guess what the name of the Vince McMahon versus Pat McAfee match is? Smoke and Mirrors.
Oh.
Smoke and
that's
Mirrors.
That's the name
right.
of the match. And that's his fucking theme song.
Oh, yeah.
Woo!
Man.
So is he,
you're welding.
Oh,
he's
me. You know
so
what?
If
he's
going
to come back and job
in...
to Vince.
No, he's going to come back and he's going to come back and beat the shit out of Pat McAfee. Cody Rhodes is going to be the fucking Vince McMahon's new golden boy. Austin Theory,
oh,
they're going to call him a little group.
That would be a fucking burial if he's involved in this. That would be a fucking burial.
No. If they put Cody, like Albert's saying, if they put Cody in this position where, like, Austin Theory, so now you got Cody and Austin Theory's, like mad, like he's the sad puppy, like that does they like the old, like, cast aside, like, now that Cody's around. I like that gimmick. That sounds cool.
Yeah, they're bringing him in for
Cody
Austin Theory,
looking,
I'm thinking.
Yeah. Austin Theory,
yeah.
I like Austin Theory more than right now. Like, he's actually, like, a really good wrestler and just, like, a funny dude. So I don't got no qualms with that dude.
But the thing
yeah,
is,
I like
okay,
that guy.
Apparently through the dirt sheets, right, like, Cody's going to have some creative control over his character. And you know that they're going to be doing some swerves. That he's probably if he's going to be working with Vince McMahon, like, hey, you know, we finally got rid of Triple H, come back. Like, that's the storyline they're going with, and you can come back because of, you know, you've done this, you've built this company, you've, you know, made yourself a star. Come back, and now you're going to be the next in line. Like, that type of shit. Like, that's the storyline they're doing. Builds up to a Triple H return where Triple H versus Cody for the dude. There's so many different fucking options for this. And I'd like to see some of them.
Yeah. So there's real beef with Cody and Triple H then. That's like a real thing. Like Cody and Triple H is where they didn't get along. It wasn't Cody and Vince ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Cody cut a promo one time that comes to mind where he's like, the McMahons have always treated my family this way. But then I guess, like, the real truth of it is that, like, yeah, Triple H, he might have had, like, more conflict, I guess. I don't know. It's weird. We'll see what he does. That was the biggest news I'd seen in a long time. Cody leaving AEW seems like a really big deal for AEW. Like, not a good sign for them, but maybe not.
It's the beginning of the end.
The beginning of the end for
the beginning of the end
be.
For them.
Could
not
be.
Really.
It will be
not
revealed
really.
That Cody was the mole the whole time he was feeding information to Vince.
Well, these dudes have, like, alternatives. That's what's crazy is, like, instead of, like, even this control your narrative thing, like, it's like, so you got Strowman, EC3, Killer Cross, like, they've got guys that went that way to back that. They got guys that go to AEW, guys that go to Impact. They have these alternatives. I don't know where I'm really going with that, but it's like they have,
right,
you don't expect, like, some of these big names to go where they end up going. That's what we see. And Cody being the first one to leave from AEW to WWE is like, I would have never expected him to be the first one.
Me,
yeah.
I would want to go back and rock NWA, man, and get that title. I'd be like, look here, Billy. I'm coming to your shithole promotion, but I'm only coming for the gold, baby.
It's a good thing for WWE. If they're working a contract where they're saying we'll give you extra control and we'll let you fucking we'll work with you on this or something, like, that's a pretty good sign, I guess. But we don't know that that's the case yet either. We're speculating that, like, because based off what we know of Cody, but me signing up to be John Cena, be like, I want to be in the movies. I got a reality show. Like, let's see.
I mean, apparently it's not that bad of a place to be. You know, Kevin Owens recently signed a contract. Extension or whatever. Sami Zayn into Zazaro is no longer with them.
And the WWE, they take care of their top guys, dude. Like, they really do. Like, they pay them a shitload. They fucking, like, if there's something they don't want to do, they don't fucking do it. You know, it goes back to Big E. Believe it or not, Big E's one of those top guys too. Like, if there's and the New Day, and New Day makes himself so much money that they're like, oh, we're not going to turn fucking heel. We're not going to turn on each other. Like, so WWE does give creative freedom to the top guys. So you have to break past that mid-card fucking bullshit where they're just like constantly fucking cheating on you, constantly putting you in like those shitty fucking gimmicks, cutting you off. Creative has nothing for you. Once you break that glass ceiling they have and you're a top guy, it seems to be like a fucking awesome company. Because why would like Goldberg not come back all the time, or The Rock come back, or Cena comes back? You know what I mean? Like, they take care of them, dude. And like, it seems to be a lot easier for the top guys.
And shit.
Yeah. And so to be happy in WWE, you have to be one of the top fucking stars. You know what I mean? Why do you think Mysterio's still there? Like, they take care of these guys and they don't bury them. You know what I mean? They make sure that they're, you know, pretty safe.
I mean, it's good work if you can get it.
Yeah, it's the mid-card guys and the lower-card guys and girls that have a bunch of fucking problems. Like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, and I get it. You know what I mean? They want you to earn your keep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree. I'm in total agreement there. Christian, let's wrap this up, man. Or is that all we got? Or?
Yeah, that's all we got.
All right, well, that's a good report, man.
All right, that's it for the report. And now I'm going to do the new segment that I did the last time. Was the last time I did the air when I was hosting the show, where, you know, I mean, you weren't here, Minister, but
I'm going to continue. My ears that time? Oh, my gosh. Last week I had my fucking eyes. Now, we didn't do the show because I couldn't go. But, man, and it last week I had the same shit I had last year with my eyes where they're all fucking red and shit for like a whole week. Except for last year it was for like almost 3 weeks before I finally went in and shit. But this year I didn't go in, but I just switched up different allergy meds and shit until I finally got the right one and shit. Holy fuck, man, my eyes were just so fucking irritating all last week. Man, I hate this shit. But I digress. So, but yeah, you don't want to go through the shit I was going through that day with the ears either. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Anyway, Christian, I'm taking up valuable time, man. Give us a new segment.
Yes. Albert Inspected and Kevin West is familiar with this segment. It's called Fantasy Warfare, where I take any company crossover event for a pay-per-view that I make, and you three are the judges, and you give your opinions on each match and each stipulation and what you think was good and what you think was bad, and if you think was the right call to what real winner or not the real winner. But today's crossover Fantasy Warfare is the classic WWE versus WCW, and it's simply called Rebellion. The storyline is this. WCW and WWE has been at war with each other for years now, until one day they finally said, enough's enough, it's time to do the final battle. So it's a winner-take-all contestants matches. Each match represents WWE and WCW, each combatants. Whoever scores the most points in the end of the pay-per-view wins complete control of both companies and both powers in politics. So I'm going to ask you three the same question. Are you ready for this pay-per-view?
Hell yes.
Albert?
How about those guys?
Sorry, I'm on mute. Yeah, sure, let's do it.
Minister, are you ready?
Bring it on.
All right, so any good opening to a pay-per-view has got to have a banger, a fire match. So I'm going to do a match that nobody has ever thought of before. Matches that nobody's ever thought. So the first match, we're going to go to the extreme. We're going to go to a 60-man Iron Man match, to the first match of the pay-per-view. And I'm going to put, remember, I get to pick any stars from each era, any era, no matter how old or young they are. So I'm picking the 2002 2003 Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels when he came back from his back injury and retirement. I'm picking that Shawn Michaels versus Eddie Guerrero from WCW in an Iron Man match. That's the first match that opens the show. We have Mr. Heartbreak Kid who's an expert in Iron Man matches. So it's a back and forth match. It's an instant classic. And then the final hour, the final minute, Eddie Guerrero shocks the world without the assistance. He lies, he cheats and steals, and he beats Shawn Michaels clean for the first point of WCW in a 60-man Iron Man match. What are the judges' thoughts of the first match of the pay-per-view, Rebellion? Your thoughts?
Starting out with the 60-minute Iron Man match is a bold move. It depends on the booking prior to the match, I would say, probably. But the matchup is great, no less. But I would probably put this as a main event. But if every match on this card is a main event level match, then yes. I think that Eddie Guerrero would win the fuck out of this match.
All right, Albert.
Dude, this is the problem with this fantasy booking is that like it leaves a lot of questions. You know, are we rating them or what?
You're rating them, yeah.
Just giving an opinion on.
An opinion. Well, I mean, I don't see who's the head booker for this? Like
me.
Not you. Not you, but is it WCW or WWF? Are going to come out as a fucking tie? I don't know.
It's Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff.
Okay. Okay, then I see it. I see Eddie Guerrero going over then. Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like it would be an excellent match. But I think an Iron Man match would be a little bit too much, like a would be a little overkill for the first match, you know?
All right. What about you, Minister of Sinister?
I also have to agree with Albert. I think that the Iron Man match would be a little bit overkill for the opening
match.
You
haven't even seen the match, guys.
I mean, I guess it would have to be. I don't know, man. I'm really not into this fantasy shit, so it's hard for me to just sit here and make shit up, man. I mean, even though I do live in my own little fantasy world, as you may know, but so you know, that's how it is for me. I mean, I don't like fantasy movies or none of that shit. You don't catch me watching fucking Star Wars and shit like that.
It's just what if this is not happening for real, but you know.
Yeah.
But it would be a good match.
I'll go with Eddie Guerrero as the winner, though. Put me down.
Yeah. All right. The next match. So far, WCW has 1 point. The next match would be Chris Jericho and Christian, who are a tag team with each other. Team Canada, you know, from 2003 to 2004, versus Benoit and Dean Malenko from the Four Horsemen. Now, this is like really wrestling, you know. We have four of the best wrestlers.
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
We have four of the best wrestlers fighting against each other in this tag team match. But I would have to go with the winners are Jericho and Christian because they cheat and because there's dissension between the Four Horsemen. Because remember, this is the Four Horsemen, this tag team. And the Four Horsemen are descending. They're like breaking up. So, of course, Team Canadian wins because of the dissension between Benoit and Dean Malenko. So, it's so far, it's a tie so far. 1 point for WWE, 1 point for WCW. Cavier West, what is your thought of this tag team match?
Cavier?
Oh, sorry, I was on mute. Sorry. I was saying, I think I've seen this, like, similar matchup with this, like, on old WCW, right? Like, aside from Christian being there, I feel like these guys all used to wrestle each other anyways. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, I get the concept, and I'm not trying to take the piss out of it, but it's, like, because I don't have the booking and the feud behind it, it's harder for me to get invested in it. But, like, the matchup's all,
they wanna
like, of course, sounds good.
They want to prove who's the best technical tag team in the world is.
Yeah. No, it's cool. This is a good matchup.
Yeah. All right, Albert, what's your thoughts, your opinion about this tag match?
It sounds reasonable, and it'd be like, it would definitely be a wrestling clinic, you know what I mean? I would definitely, if I had to rate this, I'm imagining this match in my head, 9 out of 10 hamburgers, bro.
Yeah. All right. What's your thought about this match, Minister?
I'm going to say that Edge and Christian give them both concertos. Concertos, yeah, for everyone.
No, it's Jericho and Christian.
Oh, shit. Well, Jericho and Christian then, win. That's what I got to say.
All right.
And then they beat him up at the end, too.
Yeah. Up next will be the another, it's like the Cruiserweight and the IC title combining. This is the unification match, one of many unification title matches on this company. It's representing WWE, RVD, 2001's RVD, you know, when he came, versus WCW's Rey Mysterio, the Cruiserweight WCW.
Please say
Buff Bagwell. Yeah. So we have a wrestling clinic with RVD versus Rey Mysterio. RVD picks up the win with a 5-star frog splash. But Ray turns heel for the first time ever in his fucking career. He turns heel by giving RVD a low blow. Pissed off that he lost the Cruiserweight title to RVD.
Right.
Your thoughts, Kevier?
Well, you're not going to like this. I'm sorry. But I'm going to say that, like, that's how Ray does his first heel turn, is with a low blow, dude. Come on. Like, Ray, make Ray do something crazy. Make him, like, fucking take his mask off. Like, underneath the mask is, like, a devil's face. Like, I've been a demon the whole time, fuckers, or something. Like,
yeah. He busts out some special fucking red contacts.
Yeah.
Good.
I don't know. But the match... Great. The matchup was great, and I'm sure that match would be sick. And did those guys wrestle like in WWE? Did RVD and was
like,
that during
hardly.
The SmackDown?
Hardly.
Because that does sound cool to see RVD and Ray versus each other.
Yeah. What about you, Albert?
Well, I'm gonna say it like this. Yes, I think Rey Mysterio needs more than just a low blow, just to turn heel. I think he needs to go off and get a chair. Beat the shit out of Rob Van Dam, go crazy on the fucking audience. But here's the deal, you know what I mean? I don't think a Rey Mysterio heel turn would work. It would have been very similar to Sting's a few times that he tried to turn heel in WCW and later on in TNA, where the crowd just fucking cheered him anyway. In fact, they cheered him even more when he was doing heel shit. And I think that would be the case if Rey Mysterio turned heel. They would just fucking cheer for him anyway. That's just my opinion. I don't know. But, it seems like it would be a pretty good match.
All right. What about you, Minister?
Who was this again?
RVD versus Rey Mysterio for the IC title and the Cruiserweight title.
Well, for once in my life, I'll say Rey Mysterio wins. Oh, yeah, because he turned heel. Yeah, I'm a heel, you know. I never liked Rey Mysterio, but you know, I'm a heel, so yeah, got to give it to Rey Mysterio. Yeah. Shout out. 619, baby. 619-924-0815. No less.
All right.
Are we still taking calls right now?
No.
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 Well, somebody just texted me, said something on hold. I don't know. Or put a
really?
A comment on the post. It said they were on hold. I don't know. I guess that was a few minutes ago.
Yeah. Up next, we have a match nobody's seen before either. We have the big red monster Kane with the mask versus Big Sexy, representing the NWO Wolfpack, Kevin Nash. So this is a hard-hitting match. This is a hard-hitting match until Big Sexy gets help from his Wolfpack brothers, especially Lex Luger, Sting, Wolfpack Sting, with the face paint red and black. Sting helps Nash beat Kane, and this sets up a match later on. So with the help of Wolfpack Sting, Kevin Nash beats Kane. Thoughts? Kevier, your thought?
Still not believable, because Kevin Nash could not beat Kane. Kane would beat the shit out of him. I'm sorry. In a real fight, Kane would definitely.
No, I'm saying he gets helped by Sting. He gets helped by Sting.
Okay, Sting interferes. Okay, I'm sorry.
It sets up for the paper. It sets up for a match later on in the pay-per-view. So.
I got you. I would definitely match those guys up. Like when I was a kid, I'd probably play with those action figures and be like, "Nah, you suck, Kevin Nash," and like Kane would fucking choke slam him or something. But in my old age, I might pick Nash to win. Big Daddy Diesel, what'd they call him? Big Daddy.
Big Daddy Cool Diesel.
Big Daddy Cool Diesel. What the fuck, dude? Okay.
Okay, so Albert, what are your thoughts of Kevin Nash cheating to beat Kane with the assistance of Sting because they're in the Wolf Pack?
Okay, but yeah, all right. I mean, I'm not going to go into the fact that NWO Wolf Pack were fucking faces. Why the fuck would they cheat? But
because
They're
defending the company. It's a winner take all. Both one of the companies is going to go out of business. They have to do what any means necessary.
Okay. Let me stew on that for a little bit. What if Kane defected and joined Wolfpack? Like, that would make more sense. I don't know. Anyway, we're getting too into this fantasy booking shit. It's making my fucking brain move. There's so many possibilities about all this shit, but you know what? It sounds like it would be at least a big mad match. I don't know how good of a match this would be, but I think the pop with NWO Wolfpack running out and shit, especially Sting, would be outrageous in the fucking arena. So, okay, I'm down.
I would say Sting interferes, I would say that how I would book it, the only change I would make is that once Sting interferes to help Kevin Nash, Undertaker appears to help Kane. And now you got
Sting. Hold on, we're getting there. Minister, what are your thoughts on the match?
This was Big Daddy Cool against who? Or Diesel? Or
Kane.
Oh, yeah, against, I'm a big fan of Kane. Kevin Nash gets help from Kane?
No, Kevin Nash gets help from Sting because of the Wolfpack, and he beats Kane.
Oh, fuck Sting. I gotta go, put me down for, you know, the red monster, the big red machine.
All right.
The devil's favorite demon.
All right. Up next, we're in the quarterfinals. We're in the three last matches. So far, it's tied up with 2 points for each company so far. First, it's the third to last main event match. It's a Big Hoss match. It's a match that nobody has thought of before. This is going to be a Hell in a Cell match between the next big thing, Brock Lesnar, 2002 to 2003 Brock Lesnar, versus the crazy son of a bitch who takes spots, Mike Awesome in WCW.
Okay.
Not the 70s guy Mike Awesome, the Mike Awesome with the fucking trunks that does fucking crazy spots, the suicide dives and all that. Mike Awesome in a Hell in a Cell match, right? It's fucking brutal. They both bleed to shit. They both bleed like stuffed pigs. And then there's a crazy spot. All right, this is how the match is going to end, right? This is how the match is going to end. Neither man is going to take a pinfall. This is how it's going to end.
Before
right?
we go on, man, I got to be a funny duddy here, man. I can't get into this segment, bro.
I know.
I mean, y'all go ahead and knock yourselves out. I got to go.
All right.
So I'll tell you what, I'll close myself out. Y'all go ahead and continue and just lock up the door and way out. This is Minister Sinister saying good night. Peace out.
Okay. All right. Remember, this is just a one occasion segment, so don't worry. I'm here for occasional things.
Go ahead and finish
don't worry.
It, buddy. You're good. You got
all
a couple
right.
more.
All right, so one match. Okay. So there's a spot where Mike Awesome is about to powerbomb Brock Lesnar off the steel cage, but fucking Brock counters Mike Awesome, and he does a fucking F5 to Mike Awesome off the fucking Hell in the Cell steel cage. And the Mike Awesome's fucking dead. He's fucking dead. Continue.
You killed him.
And they give Brock Lesnar the fucking point because he can't fucking continue. He's dead. So Brock wins because Mike Awesome can't fucking continue because he just fell off the fucking cell by a fucking F5. What are your thoughts, Kevy, about this match?
You actually booked his death?
Well, no, he's not dead.
You think it's okay?
He's not dead. He's kayfabe dead. He can't continue.
Like,
he can't get up.
Actually dead. Okay, that you can book him to die. You're like, well, he's really dead in real life, so it's okay. I'm kidding.
Where the fuck does he land? Where's he land?
Yeah.
He lands through the fucking ramp. He goes through the fucking ramp when he gets F5.
Okay, you can kayfabe the ramp. Okay. Okay.
I think it's a great matchup, and I think that Mike Awesome could probably beat Brock Lesnar. Maybe. Brock Lesnar's a UFC champion, but I digress. But I'm just saying, I think that, like, Mike Awesome is prime. That would be a good fight. Sucks that he dies in the match, but yeah, Brock Lesnar, you can't beat Brock Lesnar.
All right, Albert, what's your take on this?
Okay, this could be done. It sounds like a really good fucking match on paper. The spot at the end sounds fucking crazy. Maybe if there was like a stack of tables that somebody set up, because I'm afraid that going to the ramp looks cheesy as fuck. Like they did it in WCW where Canyon fell through the ramp, right? It was like terrible.
This isn't that kind of ramp. This is like real, like, hard steel ramp where he goes through the fucking ramp. Legit goes through the ramp and there's, like, sparks and fire comes out. He breaks the LED ramp.
Okay. All right. Look, dude, we're on it. I'm going to say 6 out of 10 hamburgers on this one. But...
Yeah.
I'm with Kevin on the side. I think Mike Awesome would legitimately fuck up Brock Lesnar at the time.
Right? You would fuck him up.
I'm trying to get this, like, okay, I'm trying to picture this like a real fucking wrestling show, like, not like he just fucking falls through the ramp and there's sparks and shit everywhere. There has to be something set up to where this guy can safely fall through. or anything could happen in this fucking match. Like, Brock Lesnar could just bring out a fucking shotgun that he hunts mooses with, and he just fucking blows Mike Awesome's head off in the middle of the fucking thing. Like, how far are we stretching the imagination here?
There's a bed underneath the ramp, so don't worry. There's a trap.
Okay, there has to be. Right. But I don't want Mike Awesome to die,
you know, or
he's not dead. He's kayfabe dead.
He's already dead.
He can't get up and continue. Up next will be the semi-main event. It's a dream match that everybody's wanting. It's Undertaker versus Sting. Undertaker wants revenge. Sting for what he did to his brother earlier tonight. By the way, the score is 3-2 to WCW and WWF. WWE is in the lead. Undertaker looks like he's about to beat Sting when, surprise, surprise, Kevin Nash comes out, you know. He comes out to make the interference just like Sting did, but Kane came out and helped his brother. All looks like Undertaker is about to win, but they forgot that there's another member in the Wolfpack, and he's also best friends with Sting. Lex Luger comes out of nowhere. This is Biker Taker, by the way. This isn't the Dead Man Taker.
What Luger is this?
Wolfpack Luger.
Okay, that's right. All right. Yeah.
Luger comes out of nowhere, knocks out the Undertaker. Sting does the Scorpion Death Drop. Sting defeats Undertaker. Your thoughts?
Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard still because it's fantasy booking. I don't have, it's hard because I haven't actually seen the match. But it sounds cool, and I don't know. I mean, I don't have many thoughts on it, dude, but it does sound cool.
All right.
I'd have to see it. I'd have to see some storyboards, maybe play it book it on 2K22 or whatever, and build them all as wrestlers and let me watch it on YouTube.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. That would be cool.
Albert, what's your...
Who's the point go-to?
Sting.
It ties it up, right? It ties up the whole show?
Yeah.
So the whole show's a tie?
Yes. It's a tie so far until the main event. Winner takes
all. I thought this was going to be it. Right. Okay. Okay. I'm down with that. But as long as it's a good 30-minute fucking classic match that we wanted to see between these two, then I'd be down with it, man.
Yeah. All right. So now it's time for the main event. It's time for a match that nobody's seen before again. It's the WWF. This is the unification match. The winner take all. The winner, whoever wins, owns both companies. One of them is going to go out of business. It's the WWE or WCW. The main event. Vince McMahon is sitting at one corner. Eric Bischoff is sitting at the other corner because these two are the owners of WCW and WWE. It's Stone Cold Steve Austin, the WWE champion, versus the WCW world champion, Bill Goldberg. But there has to be a special guest referee. One man has to call this down the middle. And that man is Hulk Hogan. Now, the reason why I picked Hulk Hogan is that he's been both of these companies. He's been the face of WWE, and he has been the milestone for WCW, and he is the special guest referee. So whoever he counts for the three count, he has the power in his hands, the complete future of both of these companies. So the match goes as followed, right? These are prime Goldberg and prime Steve Austin, by the way. This is an old Goldberg. The match goes a hard-hitting match. It's a back-and-forth battle. Eric Bischoff tries to interfere, tries to help Goldberg. Vince beats the shit out of Eric Bischoff outside of the ring. You know, it's all hectic, right? And it looks like Hulk Hogan is siding with WCW because he has he takes off the referee shirt. He reveals an NWO t-shirt, meaning that he's in Team WCW, right? But the biggest swerve, he grabs a steel chair, right? Both world champions are down on the floor. Hulk Hogan takes off his referee t-shirt while holding a steel chair. It reveals NWO. and he's about to hit Steve Austin with the steel chair. But in a swerve, he hits Goldberg with the steel chair, knocking his ass out. Hulk Hogan rips the t-shirt again, and it reveals the old 80s Hulkamania t-shirt. He's joined Team WWE. And so Stone Cold Steve Austin gives the stunner 1, 2, 3. Stone Cold Steve Austin beats Bill Goldberg, and WCW is out of fucking business. Hulk Hogan screwed Ted Turner, he screwed Eric Bischoff, and he screwed the NWO, and he screwed WCW, and WWE has complete control. What are your thoughts on the screw job of WCW?
Christian, you've booked a card here that has just got the biggest budget that probably any wrestling show ever had. Like, what's the payday for all these?
Also, very Ted Turner, by the way.
And what's the aftermath of the events that take place here? Like, what leaps after this? I wonder.
Nothing. It just leads to WWE owning WCW.
All those guys, and they absorb all the bad assessment. Like, it's a cool, it's like whenever you get Street Fighter and it has, like, all the characters from, like, Street Fighter 1, 2, 3, and 4, or whatever, you know, it has them all, like, on Street Fighter 5 or whatever.
Yeah.
So they're like 2K22, how you'll have, like, old dudes on the roster. So, yeah. If only. But no, the screw job aspect is really cool. The booking is really cool. Steve Austin versus Goldberg writes itself. I don't know. It's just like I said, like, you wouldn't be able to pay all these guys enough money.
Who said I was
paying?
Paulie. He's booking it. You said Paulie was booking it, actually. That's funny.
Yeah, they may have been booking it, but I'm still the head. I'm still the head. I'm still in charge. So who said I was paying all these people?
I mean, pay-per-view revenues alone would probably be through the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would give this whole event. I like the last match. Interesting turn with Hogan there. But I would give this entire pay-per-view, if I was watching this, like I wasn't watching it in my mind. 7 out of 10 burgers, mainly because of the surprise and the twist and turns. And I'm sure there's going to be some good matches. I'm sure there was good. I mean, these matches were pretty good. So,
yeah. All right. So, that is all
except
for tonight.
Except for my getting F5 off this hit.
Yeah. So, that is it for me tonight, fellas. I'm still going to be in hiatus. I'm still on vacation on hiatus, so I will return anytime I want in a special occasion. So good night, everybody.
Later, right. Buddy.
Good night, guys. Well, excellent Fatal 4-Way Radio. I got to get going. Sleepy. Goddamn.
Later, Robert.
Yeah, I'm feeling sick, too. I mean, I started feeling sick the last, like, few hours.
No.
I don't know if I have coronavirus.
It could just be the flu. That's going around too. Take care of yourself.
Oh yeah. Well, oh yeah, man. Thanks, guys. See y'all later.
Well, I guess it's just you and me now, listeners. Let's take this time to talk about Kanye West for another hour and a half. I just cracked another cold beer, and I'll be here just going over my favorite albums. Let's start with My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. It's a classic, something that I like to do on nights like tonight. So go ahead and pull up a seat, kick back, and enjoy the soft tones of Kanye's synth pads and my soothing, smooth voice. I digress. I'll see you guys next week. Thanks, and sorry that Chuck couldn't hang in there. With us, he had to go home. He pulled a Jeff Hardy and rolled out early. Pulled a Jeff Hardy and said, "I'm tapped out. I'm going to AEW." Fuck. Oh, I'm just kidding. But okay. See y'all next week.